So with all of that said, we're going to dive into the Word. Pastor Scott did an amazing job last week, and so we're going to continue on with our series. That's exactly, I agree, he did a good job. Somebody's clapping, I'm like, I agree, that's good. He did a great job, him and Pastor Jess. They are on vacation for the next few weeks, hanging out on the East Coast, and so, you know, follow along if they send some pictures. But along that, we dive back in. He talked a little bit about what does it mean to know who God is and who you are in that fact. But this morning, we're going to go on a bit of a journey as we continue our series about on repeat, as we walk through the Psalms. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. How many have ever seen the commercial for an easy button? You know, I think it's Staples, they got that red button, and it's like when you're having a rough day, you can just hit that easy red button and everything gets better. How many wish that that was true? If your hand's not up, like, oh, man, come on. It would be so nice that all of a sudden, when you're having a rough day, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a temptation, all you had to do was just look for the button, hit the button, and then you're like, it's perfect, it's gone away. But if we're honest with ourselves, if we've lived a few days on this earth, we know that sometimes life is not easy. Sometimes we encounter hard moments. Sometimes we encounter hard seasons. Today, likely, if you are not going through one of those seasons, you have been through one. And if you haven't already, open your eyes because you're about to get one. Because in our lives, we will encounter that. And guess what? That is okay. Jesus actually prepped us for it. He said that in this life, there will be trials. In this life, there will be hard moments. In this life, there is going to be seasons where we are filled with all different kinds of emotions. We are going to have moments where we are in our feels. So if you can do me a favor, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's okay if you have some feels. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to find out what we do when our heart hurts. Because that is the journey this morning. I gave you a tongue twister. It's the long weekend. Not everybody gets a break. So in those moments, we're going to lean in and see what the psalmist, see what David had to say when our heart hurts, when our days are a little bit of a struggle. When it feels like God's a little bit further than what we would like him to be, when expectations and our expectations of what should always happen in our lives don't go as planned. Because today it's not about not sort of denying that we have the feels, but instead learning how do we deal with it when we do. So if you wouldn't mind, the notes of this morning are going to be titled this, When Your Heart Hurts, and we're going to look at Psalm 13. We're going to read from the New Living Translation, and this is what it says in the first six verses. It says, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? First two verses, and what is David saying? The one who has a heart after God, his psalm that he is saying, but a psalm that we would look to and the people of God would look to in their days and in their journeys that would play on repeat in their mind and their heart. The first two verses, all questions saying, God, have you forgotten me? God, where are you? Are you going to let my enemies rule over? God, are you there? Ever felt that way? Ever maybe ask that question? Maybe not verbally, maybe you have, but maybe in your heart or your mind and sort of felt like, God, you're so distant. It feels like you're so far away. God, are you going to let that person at work or that person who's lying about me, are you going to have let them have the upper hand? God, I thought you were my God. God, I said yes to all these things and I'm still going through all this. Where are you, God? David has some feels here. In the psalm this morning, it would be titled A Personal Song of Lament. There's some lament, there's some anguish that's wrestling in his heart and in his soul. His heart hurts. And it goes on to verse 3. In verse 3 says, Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, We have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But here comes the turning point. But I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good and he is good to me. So this morning we want to unpack this truth a little bit, this psalm a little bit. Because as we see, David is laying out here a beautiful blueprint of how we can healthily deal with and biblically deal with the moments when our emotions are running high, when we're in our feels. He gives us a bit of a plan of acknowledging our feelings, dealing with our feelings through God, and then what do we do next? So let's start with the problem, because when we're diagnosing a problem and solving a problem, we always have to look at the issue at hand. And the issue at hand this morning is when your heart hurts. Don't have to look by hands. You can be like representing somebody next to you. How many have had a moment where your heart's hurt a little bit? Where things didn't go as planned. Where you're wondering, where you're questioning, where you're looking for the answer. In these moments, David is reminding us that this is going to happen. This is real. This is true. And David in this moment is not telling us to say, just ignore it. Because in Christendom, we do have a bit of a problem. We really struggle when we talk about emotions and feelings and struggles. Somewhere along the lines, whether it's bad preaching, I'll pick on all the preachers, where we've sat there and said, as soon as we ask Jesus into our heart, our life is going to be great and everything is going to work out perfect and everything is going to be sugar and spice and everything nice. Maybe you believe that. You're like, yes to Jesus, and like everything is going to be perfect. And then you went out of here and your car didn't start. And then there was a flood in your house and you're like, come on, I said yes to Jesus. What's happening? Somewhere along that line, we've got this wrong belief that as followers of Jesus, we're not going to have trials, we're not going to have issues, we're not going to have moments where our emotions are running high. And so because of that, we've picked up sort of a tendency. We've picked up a tendency to do one of three things when our emotions or our feelings hit the max. And we're going to realize this morning that today you and I have a choice. When the emotions are overrunning, when the feels are high, you and I have a choice of what we're going to do with them. Will we suppress them or we process them? And so what we see is in our lives, there's three ways that we usually deal with it. One is we bury them. We kind of ignore them. Don't look to the person next to you, no spouses or girlfriends or boyfriends or brothers or sisters nudging each other saying, that's you. In those moments when we think about that, I'll give you sort of a picture of what it may look like. Sometimes Jen is an amazing cleaner. She loves to clean. I love to cook. Okay, that's how we kind of work it. She loves cleaning. I love cooking. We joke, I clean because we need to, you know, the house. I clean because we need to. She cooks because we need to survive sometimes. And that's our joke between us. But there's some moments where I remember when she went away and I had all the kids to myself and we were having lots of fun and we were keeping it tidy. But all of a sudden she said, I'm coming home a day earlier. Yeah, you laugh because you know. Instantly in that moment, I'm like, oh no. So I called her. I'm like, hey, sweetie, how you doing? Like, so that's great news. I love your text. How fast are you coming home? And she's like, I'm almost there. I'm actually only about an hour and a bit away. I left my mom's earlier, and I'm on the journey, and I'm already there. And now this is not a moment where I've got 24 hours to make this place look sparkling clean like we did it all the time. In this moment, it now comes to the place where I was not trying to make it clean. I was burying everything. We all have those places that we figured out in our house when company shows up and you're like, just a second. And you're running there and stuffing it all in the closet. You're shoving it under the bed and you're just praying that nobody opens that door. Ever been there? Sometimes when it comes to our feelings, our emotions, when we're going through rough seasons, we do the same. We bury them. We suppress them. As guys, a lot of times we say, well, it's really good. I'm going to control and override. I'm just going to bury that down there and just keep going. And guess what? There are some times where you have to for the moment. But David is reminding us of this truth that that's not what he's calling us to do. Because we see that truth, what we bury, eventually finds its way out. I think I'm really good, and then I'm thinking, okay, when she goes to sleep, I'll put it all away. But my sweetie, she knows those things. She just opens the door and she's like, I'm just putting something away. And I'm like, no, please. And you open that door and guess what happens? It's all there. In our lives, if we suppress instead of process, there's going to be seasons of our lives that we think we're doing a really good job hiding those emotions, those feelings, but they start to sneak out, they start to erupt, and we think we're hiding, but everybody around you is like, no, man, you're in the feels. What used to be kindness and compassion with your words now becomes sarcasm. Now there becomes a sharpness to your tongue. In those moments, we've had different ways that we see it come out. So we have to realize that this is a real problem. We struggle with dealing with our emotions and our feelings in a healthy and biblical way when times are tough and when our heart hurts. And David was showing us a proper way to do it. But there's not only that, we don't just bury them. Sometimes we allow what we bury to move to the second one, which means our emotions control us. Ever act a certain way and you're like, I don't know why I did that? I've told you before, I used to struggle with anger and with the temper. And it'd be like showing, a bull or, the red flag. And I'm like, oh, and there was things I said or things I did or ways that I behaved that wasn't, my normal personality traits or my normal way of living or my normal way of following Jesus, but those emotions and those feels, because I suppressed them, because I hid them, because I pushed them down instead of dealing with them, they began to control my emotions, control my behavior, and control my actions. Then there's the third one. When something doesn't go the way that we want it to, and it can be very difficult, it can be trying times, it can be very traumatic times, we allow our feelings and our emotions to cause us to now run away from God. Where we feel like he's distant from us, and so like in a relationship, we go in those moments, God, I feel like you're not talking to me, so fine, I'm going to show you I won't talk to you. Nobody's ever done that, though. We're just talking for a friend, right? Ever have those things where you've been praying a lot of times, wishing that God would move, and you're like, God, where are you? And fine, if you're not going to answer me, I'm not coming to church. And God, you know what? Someone did me wrong, so I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray anymore. Who's running the show there? Our feelings and our emotions. So we have to realize the first truth as we move in this is realizing that we have them. We have to acknowledge that we have feelings, we have emotions. We're going to encounter trials and hard seasons. There are going to be days where your heart hurts and my heart hurts. We are people that are walking in a broken and fallen world, and we are people that are still walking into the fullness who God's called us to be, but sometimes we've got some cracks and sometimes we leak. Sometimes we're still having those issues in our lives, but the good news is this. David shows us a better way. Instead of our unprocessed emotions moving from hurt to bitterness, or disappointment to cynicism, or anger to resentment, or fear to control, or shame to hiding and distancing oneself, David and the Psalms say, there is a better way. I don't normally do it, but I didn't get to preach last week. So look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there is a better way. Look to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, he's going to tell us. Because the better way is to be honest about your emotions. David tells us and he shows us and he displays this in these six verses that emotions are real, feelings are real, trials and temptations are going to be real. Let's not suppress it. Let's not pretend. Let's not try to hide it from a God who knows everything. But instead, let's be real about it. Let's get real about our emotions, get real about how we're feeling before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who already made us and knows everything about us, even the motives of why you're doing it. Pour them out before him. That's what David shows us. And we also see that verse in Psalm 62, verse 8, where it says, trust in him at all times. And the part I wanted us to lean on, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. We started our whole series off in Psalm 1 that God is our, or actually Psalm 46, God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our ever-present help. In that journey, he reminds us of those truths that he is, actually back, I got my quotations wrong, but here we go. In that journey, he reminds us of that. He's not asking us to hide our hurts. When I get hurt, especially along the journey, when I get hurt, I don't like to show my emotions. I can show the happy ones, but I don't really like to show my other emotions. I know it's when we play in sports, it's like, you know, somebody hits you really hard. I'm like, no, I'm not going to show you it hurt. Might be hurting on the inside, but I'm like, no, it's okay. I might be dragging my leg behind me, but there's no way I'm going to give you the satisfaction. But in our lives, some of us wrestle with that. We do that with God, but God's not telling you to hide your hurts. Instead, God is telling you through his scriptures, not only the Psalms, but to bring your hurts towards him. Pour them out. He's not looking for the perfect version of you. He already knows you. He wants the real you, the one he's called you to be, the one that he's refining, the one that he's transforming. He wants us to acknowledge and to name what we're going through. David begins to name what he's struggling with. He begins to name his loneliness. He names his anxiety. He names his sorrow. He doesn't pretend everything is okay. Today, maybe you're walking through a really tough season. Maybe it's been really hard. Maybe you're walking through or just coming through what seemed like the dark season of the soul. Maybe even though we're at the summer long weekend, you're walking through kind of a winter season. You don't have to pretend that everything's all right. You don't have to hide it from God. You don't have to run the other direction. He's there saying, pour it out. Come to me. I'm your refuge, I'm your strength, I'm your ever-present help. Like Pastor Scott said last week, know who he is. Know that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Run to his arms and pour those out before him. He doesn't run away from God because he is hurting, but instead he runs towards God because he is hurting. We need to have that as a part of our lives. When you're hurting, don't run away from the body of Christ. Don't run away from God. Don't run away from the Word. Don't run away from prayer, but instead run towards him. If you're going through what seems like hell, don't stay there, but run towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where your answer is, and David is showing us this. He's not showing us to suppress it and pretend everything is fine. No, he's saying acknowledge it. Be real with your feels, but bring them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is above all, the one there is no rival compared to. Bring them to his feet. Bring them to the cross and be reminded of that truth. He brings his emotions instead of holding them inside and internally spiraling. Ever have that happen? Verse 3 and 4 shows us this. He brings them in prayer. He brings them forward instead of holding them on, because when you hold them on, either we sort of have them seep out or we internally spiral. Ever have a conversation and then replay it about 1,000 times because you thought you said something really foolish? Or you're struggling with what could happen? What are they thinking? Or you're having a rough day and you just keep replaying it, or maybe the tears are pouring out on your pillow. He's telling you to give those to him. One of the other Psalms tells us the truth that he counts and he stores up our tears in a bottle. He cares about, intimately cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about every feeling and emotion that you're walking through. He's not telling you to hide it. He's telling you to bring it before him. And so we see in this moment, his emotions don't move him to walk away from God, but his emotions draw him towards God, and his emotions fuel his prayer life. His emotions really become the fuel for the prayer rather than the reasons to withdraw. What you're in right now, the season, or when you've walked through a tough season, is it causing you to withdraw from God, or is it causing you to get close to him? Is it causing you to stop praying, or is it causing you to start praying even more? The healthy version is acknowledging it, being real with what you're going, and causing it to move you towards him, move you towards prayer. David shows us a powerful truth. We don't deny our emotions. We actually disciple them under the truth and character of God. I want to repeat that to you one more time, because we're going to spend a little time here, because David actually shows us how we can do that. Being a follower of Jesus and being a person of faith doesn't mean denying our emotions, denying that we have problems, denying that there's sometimes sickness, denying that sometimes God feels at a distance. Instead, it's realizing those emotions are real and then discipling them under the character and the truth of who God is. Because our emotions and our feelings are great indicator lights. They're great dashboard lights that say, hey, something's on. Something's happening here. I'm dealing with something. But they are terrible leaders. Our emotions and our feelings are very important. We need to acknowledge them. We need to take note of them. We need to help them in that. But they were never meant to control and dictate and be the final word in your life. They were never meant to shepherd you. He is the shepherd. Because how many know that our hearts, even though when they're broken, they can be deceitful and lie? That's what Scripture tells us. So in those moments, we have to acknowledge that we have feelings. We have to acknowledge that many of those feelings may be true. But don't allow that to be the final word in dictating what you are going to do and how you are going to get there. But instead, in that moment, realize the truth that I will disciple these under who God is and what God says about me and what God says for my life. That I will allow him to be the firm foundation when everything else around me is shaking. I will trust him, I'll follow those steps, and I'll walk into it. We see even again that shepherding your emotions means acknowledging what you feel, bringing those feelings honestly to God, and allowing his truth, not your emotions, to guide your heart. Our hearts need to be guided, our lives need to be guided by the Holy Spirit and by the Word. Feelings are true. They need to be acknowledged. They play a role in who we are. It's not separating them. Again, it's not suppressing. But in those moments, it's realizing, okay, even when my feelings say, you know, God's not for me, truth says, my God is for me. Even when it feels like I'm the tail, not the head, the Word of God says that I'm the head, not the tail. Even though it feels like God is distant and I'm alone in this and he doesn't care, he's not with me, he's not for me, Scripture reminds me and Scripture tells me that he is with me, that he will never leave me nor forsake me, that even though I may feel like I'm alone, even though I may be hiding in the pit, even though I might be in the cave, and even though everyone else seems like they're against me, my God is for me, not against me, and because he is for me, I can be more than a conqueror. It's time that we have to know our word, line that up, and walk healthily in that. That when we have those emotions, we acknowledge them, we deal with them in a proper way. Sometimes that requires getting help. Sometimes that requires getting a professional to walk us through those. But on those other situations, we need to do this final truth. We need to partner with him and shepherd our emotions. David shows us some steps here. But when we're in our fields, what we can do to get sort of firm foundation. That's why this was playing on repeat for the people of God. Because I don't know if you've read through the Scripture, but there were some ups and downs for the people of God, was there not? Sometimes they're in the promise, sometimes they made some mistakes and they wrote to the promise. Sometimes they were like, hey, I'm free, and the next time they're in captivity. Our lives have that. And these psalms were psalms that they would sing, that they would hold to, they would pray, and they would be reminded of. So when they were struggling, they would say, okay, you know, David, he cried out, how long, God? Forever? Are you going to leave me like this, God? Four times in two verses. Two verses out of six verses was him crying out his real feelings and emotions to God. Then he shifted. He started to shift to what it is. So how do you and I shepherd our emotions? How do we begin to disciple our emotions under the truth and the character of God? The first thing that we see is we need to get real. We need to get real in verse 1, bring them before God. Acknowledge and name your pain. Get real. It's not about sitting there hiding it, like I said, but instead saying, this is what I'm struggling with. Because in our lives, pain is going to happen. It's inevitable. Pain will always take us somewhere. How many believe that statement's true? Might take us to the hospital. Might take us to words we say or shouldn't say. It might take us to God. Pain is going to take you somewhere, and the question is, will it take us towards bitterness, isolation, or control, or will it take us toward prayer, trust, and dependence on God? When you battle emotion, when you battle feelings, there is a choice involved. There's some things that are really struggling that we sometimes need help with. But there is a choice. Is it going to move me away from God? Or am I going to get real and pour them out before God? Am I going to begin to acknowledge the pain that I'm walking through, that my heart does hurt? That was hard. Feels like he didn't hear my prayer. I'm just laying that out. I'm pouring out before God because, God, you're my refuge. You're my strength. You're my ever-present help in times of trouble, and I trust you. I don't have the answers. I don't even know if you're listening, but I'm laying them down. I'm getting real. I'm not hiding behind the perfect 100-pound Bible or the real fancy shirt or coming to church every week, but in this moment, things are still falling apart. I don't know what to do, God. I'm getting real, and I'm laying them out before your feet. Pain is going to take you somewhere. Let it take you to God, not away from him. The healthiest people are not those who have no struggles. They're those who actually know where to bring their struggles. The healthiest people are not those who have no struggles, because we all have struggles. That's what Scripture tells us. The healthiest people are those who know where to take those struggles. Taking them to God, taking them to wise counsel, taking them to the Word of God, taking them to get help. In those moments, we have to get real so that we can get help. Second one, we see that he now prays honestly. So we need to get real, and then we need to pray honestly. Ask God to act. Verse 3 and 4 tells us this. Let your emotions fuel your prayer life. If you read through the Psalms, and I encourage you, take a psalm a day. It's like, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But in those moments, read a psalm a day. And if you read through there, there's so many times where the people of God are crying out, and their emotion and their journey is leading them to pray, leading them to call out to God. There's so many times where David says, "Where are you, God?" And he starts in those songs of lament where it's like, "God, you're not around, and all this is happening. My enemies are waging war against me. It feels like I'm gone. I wish I was dead." And by the end, he goes, "But God, but I trust you." In your journey, if you're going through the fields, if you're going through a dark season of the soul, get real about it and then start to be honest with your prayer life. Prayer is not pretending. Prayer is not saying that everything is perfect. Prayer is taking our brokenness, our struggles, to a perfect God. And saying, "God, I'm not perfect. Oh, but you are. And I trust you. And I'm bringing what I have to you. I'm pouring that out before you. And God, I'm asking you to act. Do what only you can. Guide, lead, help if there's areas in my life that I need to change, or if there's things I can do, or if I just need to hold on to your garment. I just need to hold on to you and be at the foot of the cross and just trust. Bring it to him." Number three, we see what he does. He speaks truth, speak truth to your soul. We see this in verse 5. This is the turning point. Before, the first three, four verses is all about the problem, all about moving to prayer. But then he says, but, I trust you. But I trust your unfailing love. But I trust that you are good. But I trust this. In those moments, he begins to speak truth. He begins to remember God's character. It's the moment where he says, "But I entrust your unfailing love." The circumstances haven't changed yet. Sometimes you got to trust when the storm is still there. Just like Peter in the gospel stepping out to meet Jesus out of the boat. The storm was still waging. The waves were still crashing. But Jesus said, "Come." And Peter in that moment had to say, "Yes, I'm stepping out. Yes, the storm is waging, but I trust you." Sometimes we need to declare truth over our life and into our lives. Not in the sense of a name it and claim it, but standing on the Word of God like we did in those moments. Feelings are real, but they're not always reliable. Think of this: I am hurting. It's a true statement, but God is faithful. I don't understand, but God is good. I feel forgotten, but God has not forgotten me. Real with the problem, pouring it out before God. Speaking truth to the troubled heart and the tired soul. God, I feel forgotten. Oh, but God, I know that you have not forgotten me. I know your promise is that you'll never leave nor forsake me, that you are with me.
I know I don't feel like it. I know I don't seem like it yet, but I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand because there's no errors in your word. I'm not going to stand on my feelings. I'm not going to stand on what's happening in the world around me. I'm not going to stand on what is happening in society. I'm going to stand on you because you are the one. You are the cornerstone of which, a firm foundation of which I can place my feet. Church, some of us need to dive into the word of God and begin to speak that word of God to our soul, to our situation. It doesn't mean that it's instantly going to change your situation or your circumstance, but it starts to speak to your soul. It begins to speak to your heart, and it says, I'm going to align that with the word of God, and even though the storms may rage, I'm going to stand in the midst of it. That's how we see later on Paul, even in captivity, even in prison, can say, I count it all joy, though you persecute me. It doesn't make sense in our own minds, but it makes sense when we declare the truths of the word of God. We can acknowledge that sometimes the situation sucks, but then we can say, God, you're with me. God, you're for me. And even if I have to sit here in the middle of it, I'm going to do the final one, which I'm going to begin to worship. I'm going to begin to choose to give praise. Because in those moments, we have to choose to change our perspective, change our focus, many times before our circumstances change. How many ever noticed that when you change your perspective or change your focus, it really does a lot? When everything's going wrong, you see everything wrong around you. You go outside, and you just came through a whole bunch of season of snow like none other, and now we're like, it's just hot, it's muggy, oh. And I can't believe it, now I'm sweating. Before I was too cold, now I'm sweating, you know. Now I don't even know what I'm supposed to wear. I don't have AC. I don't know what's going on. And I was just too hot. You know I prayed for a car and I got a car, but it's the wrong color. And we see all the wrong things in those journeys. It doesn't mean your circumstances. I'm using some fun little ones, but we know there's some real hard ones. But when you start to change your perspective, change your focus, line with the word of God says, focus and turn your eyes on what is true, what is profitable, what is good. Put your focus on him who doesn't change. Your circumstance might not change like that. I'm not going to lie. Oh, but when your perspective changes, say, God, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I know that you're in it with me. God, I know that I might not feel you here. It might not even seem like you're here, but I know you're here. God, and right where I'm at, I'm going to learn something here. So guide me, teach me, strengthen me. I'm looking for you. It changes how we respond to the situations that we're in. Not denying it, but discipling it. Not suppressing it, but shepherding it. Under the hand and under the guidance and the apprenticeship of the great shepherd. That's what he's calling us to do. To walk with the great shepherd, the perfect shepherd, and say, I want to apprentice with you. You are the one who's walking before me, walking with me, walking behind me. So I will trust you. So in those moments, choose to praise because of who he is. I will sing of the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me, verse 6. Remember what he's done. Remember the season when he's broke through. Change your focus. Look in their front mirror, but look a little bit in the rear of your mirror and say, God, right now it doesn't seem like you're here, but I remember you showed up in that situation all those years ago. And if you did it then, you can do it now. So I'm going to give you praise because of what you've done. I'm going to give you praise before it happens now because I know who you are. And I trust it. Worship recenters our hearts. It reminds us that God is still faithful, God is still present, and God is still worthy. We don't just come here and sing a bunch of songs because the team's really good, which they are. They do a great job. I agree. They do a really good job. But we worship and we praise because he's always worthy. We worship and we praise because it recenters our hearts and recenters our focus to who it's all about. that, yeah, I'm walking through this, though I'm walking through that, my God is still my God. My God is still on the throne. My God is still the King of kings and Lord of lords. My God is still trustworthy. My God is still true. My God is still holy. My God is still righteous. My God is still just. And it reminds us and recenters our hearts to those truths. And we give praise not because of what we're going through or what could happen, but instead we're giving praise because he's always worthy of our praise. So when your heart hurts, don't bury your emotions. Don't be controlled by your emotions, and don't run from God because of your emotions. Bring them to God. Pray honestly. Recenter your heart on his truth and worship from the place of pain until it moves to praise. David lays out a beautiful blueprint. Is it going to be easy? No. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. It's hard. When your heart hurts, it's hard. Got to get real with that. David did. Oh, but we know the one who is above all, and all comes from him. And he's on your side. He's on my side. He's with you, not against you. He cares about you. He cares about the smallest details of your life. That broken heart matters to him because he's your heavenly Father and you are his son or daughter. Don't hide it. Run to him with arms open. He meets you in it. So church, this morning, let that play on repeat in your heart and in your mind today. That's why there's so much life in the Psalms. That when our hearts are troubled, when our hearts are broken and hurting, we can go to a God who's the one who brings healing and wholeness to every heart. So before I have you stand and pray, I just ask that you close your eyes for a second. Because this morning I want to give an opportunity that maybe there's some in this place that are walking through what feels like a broken heart. And maybe as we talked about turning to the one who's the mender of every heart, the one who meets us in our hurt and in our loss, you're like, I don't know him. I don't know where to turn. This sounds so good, but I don't know where to turn. And maybe today you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're in this place and you have, but you kind of walked away. I don't want us to go forward in this moment without at least giving an opportunity. I always want to give us an opportunity that we could come back to the one who heals every heart, who is our firm foundation. So today, if your heart is hurting and you want to meet with Jesus for the first time or come back to him, I want to give you the opportunity. If you just slide up a hand, we want to pray with you. And I'm not going to labor it, but I want to make sure that that opportunity was there because he is the one who heals every heart. So today, if that's you, slide up that hand. And now, church, would you stand with me? Because we want to pray. Because like we said at the very beginning, we wish we had that little red button, that easy button. But not every day is easy. So today we want to pray and say, God, we want to begin to disciple and shepherd our emotions alongside of you. So Lord, today we ask that from the youngest to the oldest in this place or online, that if we're carrying in a heart that is hurting, or if we know someone who is walking through a season of heartache, that, Lord, we would help and we would turn to your word and we would see these words of David, that we would not suppress them, but we would process them. That we would acknowledge that feels are real and emotions are real. And sometimes they're really hard. But God, when we have those moments, we would pour them out before you. We would not hide it anymore, but we would pour out everything that we've got before your feet and say, God, here they are. Here am I. And from that place of surrender and from that place of obedience, we would walk with you hand in hand with you and your Spirit to shepherd our emotions in a biblical and healthy way, that we would get real, that we would move to honest prayer, that we would begin to speak your truth of your character and your truth to those situations and to our emotions. And then even before the circumstances change, we would begin to give you praise because you are worthy. That we would recenter our hearts through worship about who you are. So God, in this place, we know in a church our size, there's many that are going through struggle. Be their strength, be their provision. Show up so real and tangible in their lives and in their circumstances. Do what only you can in this place and in our lives for your glory. Help us to be a church that walks in wholeness, that walks in health, and that calls on your name because of who you are. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We say, have your way in our lives, through our lives, and around our lives. Let everything we do and say bring glory and honor to you. Lord, we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen. Love you, church. Be blessed.